All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Our subject is faithful or unprofitable. Faithful or unprofitable. Now, all of God's true saints who were made holy by electing, redeeming, quickening grace by God shall be found faithful, and they'll be found profitable in the day of judgment. It's because we're His workmanship, created unto good works which He has before ordained that we should walk in them. And we shall, because He's ordained them beforehand. He gives more light as we walk in the light that He's given. But those with a mere profession that's been worked of themselves shall be proven unprofitable in the day of judgment. Now our text is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. I read it to you before we began, so I'm going to go verse by verse here. The first thing I want you to notice is Christ is the King of His kingdom, and those He calls are His servants. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." Christ Jesus has come, and He's accomplished blood atonement for those the Father gave to Him. Now God is satisfied with Him. He has gone into a far country. He's risen to a far country, seated at the right hand of the Father. And all those for whom Christ died have been reconciled to the Father, so that they must be called out of darkness into His light, and they shall be called out of darkness into His light. And all power in heaven and earth is His, so that He gives us gifts and graces to go forth for this work of using us to call out those sheep. That was the very motive He used when He told His disciples to go forth into the world and preach the gospel. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, therefore go forth and preach this gospel." Christ has power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given to Him. And He's doing just that. That's exactly what He's doing. And Christ calls His own servants, those that He's redeemed, and He works through them. Verse 14 says, "This King, this Lord who went into a far country, called His own servants." Christ's servants are those He's called effectually. Every believer that's truly called into the kingdom of God are faithful servants. Some are given responsibility as pastors and teachers and deacons, and some are not. But all are His servants in His kingdom. That's what He's called them for. We're willing bond servants. We've been called by His grace to serve Him, His cause in this earth. But some have heard the call. They've heard it with these ears. They've heard it with the natural ears. And they've gone through the whole form that they've watched with the natural eye, and they have made themselves appear to be as His servants, but they are not His servants. He said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." The gospel goes out, and there'll be many who will be proven that they heard the call with the natural ear, but they weren't the chosen of God. Now, the believer is not frightened by that. Believer pays attention when he hears that. You remember when the Lord said, "Tonight somebody's going to betray me"? Every one of them at the table said, "Lord, is it I?" Except for one, except Judas. He never did say it. You see, God's people really, they take heed to God's word and listen to what He said. Pay attention to what He said, because we've been made up, given a heart to know what we're capable of. So Christ delivers to His servants His goods. Look, it says there, He delivered unto them His goods. They're Christ's goods. Talents here means money. But that's just an illustration. He's just using that as an illustration. These are spiritual gifts, spiritual goods, spiritual graces. They're not talents like natural talents. They're spiritual grace, spiritual gifts God's given. He gives them. They're not of us. They're given freely of Christ. This is what the Scripture said. Who maketh thee to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you have, you received it from God Almighty. If thou didst receive it, why do you glory? Why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Everything He delivers to His child, His good. They're His good. He gives them. And they're spiritual gifts to be used for the good of His kingdom. Understand that? They're spiritual gifts to be used for the good of His kingdom. When Christ calls you by His grace, your whole direction and your whole motive for living in this life changes. And if it hadn't, we hadn't been called. Now that's just so. Christ said, freely you have received, freely give. Freely give. And look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. This principle is what the whole kingdom of God is built upon. And hold your place here at 1 Peter 4. I think I'm going to come back here in a minute. But look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. How do we receive it? Freely. Freely. Even so, minister. The same. How? Freely. Freely you receive, freely give. One to another, as good stewards. Now here's what we're ministering. The manifold grace of God. That's what these talents represent. All right, that's the first thing. Christ is the King, and He's the one calling His servants, and He's the one gifting us with everything we need. And all these gifts are spiritual gifts for the purpose of edifying His kingdom. All right? Now, secondly, we see here Christ doesn't give the same measure of spiritual gifts to each of His children, to each servant. His gifts differ according to His ability to give those gifts as He sees fit, as He sees they're needful. Look at verse 15. Unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now when it says here, He gave to every man according to his several ability, it doesn't mean that He looked at His servants for some ability in us and said, all right, I'm going to give them a greater measure of gift because they got more ability in them. That's not what it means. It means Christ, according to His ability, according to His power, His authority, His wisdom, His ability to judge how best it serves the interest of His kingdom, He gives to some more and others less. You understand that? Our ability to do anything in the kingdom of God is determined by the gift of His grace that's been given to us, not by any ability in us. And it's the proportion of faith that He's given to us. If we don't have faith, we can't do anything. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we can't do one thing, not one thing. So everything that we can do, it's not by our ability. It's by the measure of the gift of His grace according to the proportion of faith that He gives to us. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Do you see that? These grace, these gifts of grace differ according to the grace that's given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Do you see that? We got this gift of His grace given to us, and we use it according to the proportion of faith that He's given to us. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Look back there again at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That means, don't say what you think. It don't matter. Say what God says. That's all that matters. We spend a lot of wasted time talking about trying to say a bunch of junk when all we got to do is say, here it is, right here. This is what we have to say. This is it. He's given us what to say. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister in any way, you minister in anybody, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You see that? The ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So secondly, all the ability, all the gifts is according to His giving. He gives it. He gives it all. Christ is the King. He calls His servants. And everything He gives is according to the gift of His grace, according to the ability He gives, by His wisdom, by His power, by His authority, and they're to be used for His kingdom, for the profit of His kingdom, His spiritual kingdom. All right, thirdly, Christ gives us His goods. This is that third point, to use for the profit of His kingdom. Verse 16, back Matthew 25:16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Now bear in mind, again, talents right here mean money. It doesn't mean natural talents. I've heard so many people think that word talent means what we naturally think of as talent. It means money is what the word talent means, money. But he's using money as a spiritual illustration. The Lord's not teaching us here how to invest our money so we can get a good return on our investment. That's get money out of your mind. The covetous man, when he reads a scripture like this, he can't stop thinking about money. All he thinks about is money. And he blocks out everything that's spiritually edifying to be heard because all he thinks about is his money, his money, his money. He's going to go to hell with his money. That's what he's going to do. This is about grace. This is about God-given grace that works effectually in His people. Talents represent every kind of spiritual gift He gives, and they're to be used to minister with for spiritual profit. For our own spiritual profit and growth, for the spiritual profit of our brethren, and for the spiritual profit of His lost sheep that He's going to use us to call out. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. Now watch this, which worketh all in all. You see that? It's God doing it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for this purpose. It's given to every man to profit with them. To profit with them. All right? Now, believers use these spiritual gifts. We use them as He's given us because He works effectually in the hearts of His people. But He's the one who gives the increase. Christ gives the increase. He gives the profit. Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The covetous man who wants God's glory, who can't hear what this gospel is teaching, the reason he can't hear it is he wants the glory. He thinks that God needs him to build his kingdom. He thinks that God's children need him to keep the whole thing operation going, that he's the end-all, be-all of the whole work. No. No believer, true believer, is that. And certainly not somebody who's so wicked and covetous that he thinks God needs him. Certainly not. God's the one doing the work. And he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're not working against each other. We're working with each other. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It's labor. It's work. We're not talking about now. This is not a movie. We don't come in here and sit down and watch somebody get up and speak and hear it all like it's a movie. And we walk out of here and go, boy, that was good. I like that part about so-and-so and so-and-so. And then go home and live like hell and forget it. The Word of God is living and abiding in His people. It has an effect in His people. It does something in His people. Christ is the head. from which all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment, ministered, and knit together, and they increase with the increase of God. This is all His wise counsel in doing this. Now look back at our text there, and look with me. It shows us there, he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made other 5 talents, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained 2. The men that were given 5 and 2 talents, they went and they traded with exactly what they were given with the ability God gave them. That's what they used. That's what they went with. They didn't consult with their flesh, and they didn't look to their wisdom and say, now, I don't know what would be best. The other man did. We're going to see what happened to him. The other man did that. They didn't look to their own carnal interest. They didn't. They freely had received from God. And if you freely receive from God, who says, everything is mine, I own everything, I've given you life! 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 Breath! 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 Life! Spiritual life! Eternal life! That's all you need. That's all we need. He's given us life! And it cost the death of His Son! Will He not with Him give us everything? Huh? This whole thing's about Him. It's not about us. It's not about our house. It's not about our little fickle way. It's Him. It's Him. And He gives us an understanding of this in our hearts. This thing's about Him. They represent the believer who trusts Christ, who sees Him high and lifted up, sees Him glorified, sees Him as the head and authority in the church. We talk about these false religionists. We talk about them who really don't believe God's working in His church, in His people, as real as He did when He walked this earth. They don't believe it. If they did, they'd preach the truth that Christ has effectually, particularly, redeemed particularly His people. They have preached that Christ has brought them from under the yoke of the law, from the bondage of the law, and that now God works in His people in spirit so that they do what they do by faith, trusting Him to provide, because they love Him and they love their brethren. They're constrained by His love for them, and their love for Him causes them to do what they do. And if they believed that, they would preach that. And we talk about the fact that they don't believe it, because otherwise they would stand up and declare it. If we really believe it, we'll do what the Lord's teaching right here. We'll give ourselves, knowing there's no way I can fail. The only way I can fail is not believing Him. The only way I can fail is not trusting Him. Is it possible to out-trust the Lord? Is it possible to trust Him too much? I met with an accountant this week. She was looking at my records and she told me, she said, you've given enough. You need to be concerned about your family. You need to be worried about your children. I said, you can't out-trust God. I trust God. I don't like to hear that kind of talk because it makes me start thinking, well, I need to look to this earth. I need to look to this, all this stuff. I'm not neglecting my family, but God's house is more important to me than my family. If He's not preeminent, He's nothing. That's just so. He's given us spiritual graces, spiritual gifts to use for the edification of His kingdom. And we're to sow in the same abundance as He's abounded toward us. That's all we prove when we don't. Is we don't really think He's abounded toward us. Isn't that right? The man with 5 sold 5. The man with 2 sold 2. The man with 2 didn't try to sow 5. He just sold 2. Disregard difficulties and discouragements. Bear the cross. Bear reproaches. Bear persecutions. Bear all difficulties with courage and confidence, knowing Christ's presence and His hand is in the work. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. What does that mean? What does all mean? What does all mean? It means all things to me. What's it mean to you? Now these 2 faithful servants profited in proportion to what they traded with. Look here. He that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And he likewise, and likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. This principle applies to all God's spiritual gifts. God promises we shall profit in proportion to how we use the gifts he's given. That's exactly so. So to the Spirit. And Christ increases us personally in spiritual knowledge, in our gifts, and in our opportunities. So to the Spirit. And Christ will use us to edify our brethren. So to the Spirit. And Christ calls out his elect, adding to the church daily such as should be saved. In proportion to our sowing, so shall we reap. That's the Bible. That's God's Word. It's exact. Christ knows the heart he's given. He knows the motive. He knows if it's constrained by his love. And Christ makes it profitable. So all the glory is his glory. It's not man. Look over at Luke 6:38. This is Christ speaking. If any other man said this, you ought not to believe it. But if Christ says it, we ought to believe it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. You see that? When I come and preach the gospel to you, I just don't want to give you some crumbs. I want the table packed out. I want it loaded out. I want it just thoroughly packed out with food. Pressed down, shaken, running over. I want it to be just overabundance of food. And I believe God will bless it. I believe He will give into your bosom this grace. Whereby the best thing you could give back to me for that would be believe God. That's it. Believe Him. That's what we're talking about here. And all these things. Look at I'll just read this to you. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's what Paul said. God's able to make all grace abound toward you. We're talking about grace here. We're talking about grace in every way. Grace in every spiritual gift. Faith, repentance, hope, love, patience, long-suffering. It's all spiritual and all temporal substance. Every way. God is able. He's able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He quotes this as it's written. He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. The Lord called it not putting your treasure in a bag with holes or something like that. But his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers, the one that gives that abundance to that one who sowed it, he will minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's all of God. Everything's of God. Y'all getting this? I mean, if this was money we were talking about, if God was talking here, if he was saying now, if you'll just give $10, God will give you 20. I bet you right now we'd be laying our money down. And we'd be perking up, listening, wait a minute. Well, I'm talking about something way more important than that. That's way lesser than what I'm talking about. And we just listen to it like, I don't know. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? It's what God said. It's what Christ is telling us. This heavenly principle applies to all areas of spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. The principle of the kingdom is giving freely that which you've been given freely. In proportion to our sowing, so shall we reap. That's the truth Christ declared. I'll give you an illustration. Who's going to increase more? Who's going to benefit more? The man who denies this earth and these carnal treasures and these carnal riches and these carnal just letting the world consume him, pull him and pull him and pull him into the world so that he can give himself to the Scriptures and he can give himself to the hearing of the gospel? Is that man going to benefit more? Or the man who just goes with the flow and takes off into it because his heart's set on this world and on all, and he's anxious about his food and his raiment and all those things, and he's seeking all those things first, and he neglects the Scriptures and he neglects hearing the gospel? Which one's going to profit more? He's given you faithfulness to come. He's given you faithfulness to hear. He's given you faithfulness to be here and to hear. And you know what's happening? You're growing in grace. You're growing in grace by what he's doing for you. He's adding to the church. He's called some and added some to the church. And he's growing you that he's already called in grace. He's doing that. But those who go the opposite direction, they neglect a little. Then they go and neglect a little more. Then they neglect a little more. And next thing you know, that earth that they're just being drawn to, it opens up its mouth wide and just swallows them right up into it. That's what happened. Well, notice where the other man sowed. And a little later we're going to see how he profited. Verse 18. But he that had received one talent, he went and digged. Now watch these three words. In the earth. He digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, this man sowed to the earth. That's where he sowed his. He went and hid it. He went like the man goes and puts it under a mattress somewhere. That's what he sowed his to the earth. He represents the man sowing to the flesh. He represents the man who takes this spiritual grace, this spiritual light, this gospel that he heard it with the carnal ear. And he claims he believes it, but he keeps on neglecting these gifts God's given him, and he puts them in the earth. You can't use them in the earth. You can't feed upon the bread that's in the earth. You can't feed upon drink the water that you've hidden away in the earth. You can't walk in light and take a candle and bury it in the ground and cover it up. You can't walk in that light. It's of no use to you whatsoever. And he did that so he could get on with his business and do his business so that he'd have that right there when God came. He could say, see, I got it. I hear what you gave me. Some claim to believe the truth of God, that he's sovereign, that he's provided all in his Son, and that he'll provide all lesser things. They claim to believe the truth. But they prove their hypocrisy by looking out for self. They prove their hypocrisy by looking out for their own house. They prove their hypocrisy by looking to the riches of this world and the temporary gratification of the flesh. All you got to do is preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And the first thing it's going to do is it's going to interrupt a man's profession of faith, his false profession. And that's going to aggravate him. But he can keep on listening. He can bear that. He can keep on with it. But get in his pocketbook, and he's gone. Now you got too close. He could put up the charade and keep on listening, but now ask for a raise and see what happens. And sometimes you need to do that just to see what happens. Get rid of the debt bait. That's right. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Why do we have scriptures like this? Why does the Lord give us scriptures like this? Well, he gives them to us to rebuke us. To rebuke us. Because you and I look to ourselves way too much. We look to ourselves and we sow to this flesh rather than to the Spirit. And scriptures like this rebuke us. They grate against. The only thing that makes a scripture like this uncomfortable for a believer is not the new man. It's the old man. It's that corrupt fountain. It's the only thing that would make this grate against a man's flesh at all. And if that's all he is, it'll just bring him into a rage. But do you understand what grace and faithfulness it is of God our Father to give His child scriptures like this and to teach us, to make us to profit so He can, in spiritual things, so He can keep us from looking to the earth and our flesh and perish with those that perish like that? Do you know what faithfulness that is? Why do we discipline our children? Why do we correct our children? Why do we do it? Mainly for our own pleasure. But He doesn't. He does it to teach His child. He does it because He's not going to let one of His children be lost. He does it to make us lay aside the weights and the sins that are besetting us, that's making us angry and making us mad and making us uncomfortable and making us doubt and making us dispute God's Word and God and everything He says and making us lash out in our hearts. He makes us lay all that aside because He turns us from ourselves and He turns us to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we might be partakers of His holiness. That's why He does it. He's a faithful Father. That's why. What God did with those believers in Haggai's day, it grated against their flesh, but it saved them from their flesh the same as it does us. He said that they were earning wages to put it into a bag with holes. If your child was earning wages and he had holes in both his pockets and you watched him walking around and everything that he worked his tail off for, he's putting in his pockets and you watch him just spill it and walk away and don't even know, just it's in a bag with holes. Wouldn't you stop him? Wouldn't you say, son, this is ignorance. This is just plumb ignorance right here. Let me tell you where there's a bag that don't have holes in it. And so God blew upon everything they had. And He said, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house. My house. You see, this was the king of the house. This was the Lord of the house in our text. And the Lord of the house, Christ, is going to save His children from sowing to our flesh so that we don't reap corruption. He's not going to let us. He's going to turn us and make us sow to the Spirit by this. That's part of this gift of grace He's given. So that we continue to walk in Him. And by walking in Him and seeing that He's making good on His promise, He fills our hearts with joy. It makes us more edifying to our own self and makes us edifying to our fellow brethren. He does it for the good of His own house. Now, only a fool would get angry about that. That's what He said. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Our faithful Father turns His child because He won't suffer any of His children to perish with the wicked. Now that's grace and that's love. Here's the fourth thing. Every one of us is going to give account to the Lord Jesus in the day of judgment. We can hide it away in our hearts and make excuses, but we're going to give account to Him. He knows the heart. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. We're going to all stand before Him and give an account for the light He gave us, and He's given all men light. We got men that are never hear the gospel preached have the light of nature. We got the light of the scriptures. We got the light of the gospel. We're sitting here. We got great light. He's given us some light, and we're going to either walk in it or we're not. Now, all Christ's true servants shall be given the same reward. These gifts and callings are without repentance. It's not like He's going to take them from us. His true servants are going to walk in His light because He's going to constrain us to do it. And then when we are taken account of, He reckons with us, we're going to be found profitable servants. We may not see ourselves as being profitable, but He will because He's done it. And He's going to give us all the same reward. Look at verse 20. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Look at the next one. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, each received the same reward. The same reward. We get a taste of that eternal joy right now in this life. There's nothing more joyful than using the gifts God's given to sow to the Spirit. For ourselves, for our brethren, for our families, for the good of His house. Nothing more joyful. And on the contrary, nothing more interrupts the believer's joy than not doing it. That's what most of everything that's not joy comes from. It's not giving ourselves to Him. But look, that professor here that was the unfaithful servant, look how he twisted the word of God. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Lord, I knew thee. And another place, Lord said, I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. Now listen to this. He said, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now this servant didn't really know the master, not in love, not in newness of life. And he represents a man that doesn't know God in love and newness of life. But he used what he knew as an excuse for his own wickedness and his own laziness. That's what he did. Now, we've heard men do something like this. I'm sure you have. I've heard men say, well, God is sovereign. I believe God's absolutely sovereign. And if he wanted me to do this, then I'd be doing it. Well, God is sovereign. And God has made it obvious what he would have us to do. That's right. And it's nothing but the deceitfulness of a wicked heart that twists the truth of God to excuse laziness. That's all it is. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now look, knowing that our Savior is God, that He is sovereign, that's the very confidence of His true child. That's the very confidence that, because we know Christ is going to provide all for us. He's not a hard man. He said, I knew you were a hard man. He's not a hard man. He only expects us to do what we can with what he's given. That's all. The man whom he gave two talents, he wasn't expected to do what the man did that he gave five talents to. He's not a hard man. Our Lord's not a hard man. He's not unreasonable at all. He's not. His yoke is so easy. It's so light. He don't tell us go to the cross and have our faces spit in and have our hair of our beard plucked out and have a crown of thorns placed on our head. He doesn't call us and tell us be forsaken of God and bear hell in your body and your spirit. He doesn't tell us to do that. He just tells us to believe Him, that He's already done it for us. That He's already fulfilled all the precepts and penalty of the law for us and will provide us everything because He loved us from everlasting. He's done all this for us. He brought this gospel for us. Look at what He's done for us. Some will say, I can't do more. God don't expect you to. God don't expect you to do more. He don't expect you to do more than what He's given you to do. But He does expect you to be faithful with what He has given you. Isn't that so? Not more, just what you have. That's all. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. You think of how much more the apostles had. His apostles that walked with Him, think how much more light they had. Even Judas had some, he had great light. He walked with the Lord. And when Mary came there and she broke that alabaster box of ointment out and poured it on His face, on His feet, the only place in Scripture he said, she's done a good work. And that was just, and he said, he commended her and he said, she has done what she could. She did what she could. Now, he says here, I knew you reap where you don't sow and gather where you haven't strawed. In one sense, Christ is reaping where He has sown and He's gathering where He has strawed because it's Christ giving the grace and it's Christ giving the increase. But in another sense, He's using us earthen vessels to sow and to straw in His vineyard and the powers of God not of us. But knowing that makes us more eager to serve Him, not less. Listen to the Lord's word in the next two verses. He said, rather than you knowing this and it excusing you, it ought to have made you do it even more. Look at verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore, if you knew this about me, you ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. You see that? What I'm saying to you, brethren, is the sovereignty of God, the absolute sovereignty of God, that doesn't make us say, well, if God wanted me to do this, I'd be doing it. That makes us look at it and say, well, I believe that we can do this. I believe I can do this. I believe God's with me. I can do this. And we move forward until God makes it clear He ain't in that. That's what Paul did. Paul said, I was determined to go to Macedonia. Is that where it was? And the Lord showed him, Paul, you're going to Macedonia. You're going to another place. And he went that place. But he didn't walk around going, well, if the Lord was sovereign now, he'd be putting me down there at Lydia, on the riverside with Lydia. He got in the ship and took off with the fellows. He told them, he said, don't sail. He said, it's not commodious to sail in this weather. It's going to be harmful to us. But all the while, he trusted God. And he didn't rebel against him. He went with them. And God appeared to him. Christ appeared to him. He said, you must be cast upon a certain shore. I got the gospel that's going to be preached there. And when he got off of that ship, got out there on that shore, he preached the gospel to them. Got back in the boat. Went to Rome. Preached the gospel in Rome. Everywhere he went, he just kept on preaching the gospel, trusting my God's providing for me. He said, sir, be of good cheer. I believe God. That ought, therefore, to have put these gifts to use rather than make us hide them away. All right, here's the fifth thing. Those who walk in the light God's given shall be given more light. And those who do not, he shall remove the light they have. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. For every one that hath shall be given. You know what's going to happen to the one that has? He's going to do what that man did. That man gave in abundance. He went out and used the gifts God had given him to do whatever it is. It might be you preach. It might be you're the best carpenter. It might be, it could be any number of things. It's whatever God has given you the ability to do. Rather than doing it for ourselves, it's doing it for God and for His kingdom, for the furtherance of His church, His gospel, His people. One of these days, He's calling out the last sheep, and we're going to the house. That's right. We're going to get out of the heat of this field and the heat of this barren desert. We're going home. That don't make me want to sit around out here in this heat and say, well, I trust He'll call them out when He does. That makes me want to find them. That makes me want to get the gospel out and say, where are you? So we get them there. These fellows that aren't preaching the sovereignty of God, and they will not preach the particular redemption of God's people, they will not declare Christ's children are not under the law anymore, they look at God's people and they say, that message kills evangelism. I don't think it does. I think it is the message of evangelism. I think it is. I think this is the message that makes us do what God's given us to do with confidence that He's going to bless it. Don't you? I do. Well, look, let me get back on this point here. He says, take that talent from him and give it to him that had 10 talents. Verse 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, now that man just does what that one man did. He just hides his gifts away. He don't use them. Every man that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The greatest example of this is natural Israel. God gave them the oracles. He gave them the promises. He gave them all those spiritual gifts. And they rejected Christ. They just wouldn't walk in the light He gave them. God took the light away from them. Remember when the apostles came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, because it's given to you to know, but it's not given to them to know. It had been given to them, but they wouldn't walk in like they had. They wouldn't trust God. And he said, It's given to you, but it's not given to them. He took the light away from them. You understand? You see that? All right. Where God gifts are given, His gifts are given effectually, the servant will obey. And God never removes His gift. The calling, and the gift and calling of God is without repentance. He doesn't take them away. That's not what this is teaching. It's teaching us to walk in the light He's given us. And His people will. His servants will. Because we got a God that's providing everything for us. But for those to whom He sends the gospel, and they hear it, but they refuse it. They may claim they believe it, claim they're His servant, but they refuse it, making excuses for their wickedness and their laziness, so they go after this world. He'll take the light away from them. Just take it away from them. Now to everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Here's the application. Same thing Isaiah said to him in his day. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It just grows and grows and grows. He gives the increase. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's great news. Amen.